From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo reminds people about tolerance ahead of Christmas. And Indonesia-Japan strengthen cooperation in developing electric vehicles. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo or Jokowi has asked citizens to strengthen tolerance and harmony ahead of the Christmas and New Year holiday season. Jokowi, after a limited meeting in preparation for the holidays, said all people have to continuously strengthen the tolerance, harmony, and brotherhood as fellow citizens, so we can all enjoy comfort and safety during the upcoming Christmas and New Year. Jokowi said at a meeting that he wanted a sufficient supply of stocks and to maintain the prices of staple foods. He also said he wanted supply and distribution operations to run smoothly during the holidays. To help accomplish these goals, the president ordered officials to prepare transportation services. Furthermore, he had asked the Indonesian military, the National Police, and the National Intelligence Agency to maintain security. UNESCO established Pencaksilat as an intangible cultural heritage through the 14th session of the Intergovernmental Committee for the Safeguarding of the Intangible Cultural Heritage. President Joko Widodo also said that the recognition from UNESCO is a word respect for the traditions and culture of Indonesia. That was said by Jokowi through his social media account on Sunday, December 15th. The establishment of the martial arts tradition as an intangible cultural heritage for humanity was carried out during the UNESCO meeting in Bogota, Colombia, last Thursday, December 12th. Jokowi said that the Pencaksilat is not just a typical Indonesian martial art that is also popular throughout the archipelago. According to Jokowi, Pencaksilat is a noble cultural heritage that contains philosophy, spirituality, and art. South Korea has agreed to extend $50 million to help Indonesia realize the fourth industrial revolution, known as Industry 4.0, through synergy between the Indonesian Industry Ministry and the South Korean National Research Council, or NRC. Director General of Metal, Machinery, Transportation, Mines, and Electronics Industry of the Industry Ministry, Haryanto, said in a written statement released on Saturday, December 14th, that South Korea will provide $50 million in assistance to Indonesia to realize Industry 4.0. The collaboration between the two sides will last for 5 years to improve Indonesia's capability in the 5 sectors of manufacturing industry, which become a priority in the roadmap Making Indonesia 4.0, namely food and beverage industry, textile and garment industry, automotive industry, chemical industry, and electronic industry. Japan's independent administrative institution, responsible for developing transit-oriented areas or TOD under the Japanese Ministry of Land, Infrastructure and Transportation or MILT, Urban Renaissance Agency, said it would build Japan Town in the Delta Mas region, Cikarang, West Java. that was said by the senior officer of the Business Promotion Division of the International Business Department of the Urban Renaissance Agency, or UR, Yosuke Uenaka, during his presentation in Yokohama on Saturday, December 14th. The idea to build Japantown is based on the fact that there are many Japanese companies at Delta Mas region, especially in the Greenland International Industrial Center, or GIIC. In addition, the region has also formed a community that unites native Indonesian citizens with Japan. The area has also been equipped with supporting facilities, namely Japanese restaurants and Japanese-themed apartments and areas, along with the increasing number of Japanese workers and executives. Another was of his Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia and Japan continue to collaborate in efforts to develop the automotive industry, including encouraging the acceleration of the production of environmentally friendly vehicles. This strategic step was realized through a synergy between the Indonesian Ministry of Industry and the Japanese Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry, or METI. That was said by the Director General of the Metal, Machinery, Transportation and Electronics Industry, or ILMATE, Industry of the Ministry of Industry, Haryanto, through his statement received in Jakarta on Saturday, December 14th. Haryanto explained the activities were to share knowledge and experience regarding standardization and technical regulations implemented in both countries. One of them is the use of renewable energy or biofuels. According to Haryanto, the two sides discussed the development of investment and incentives for the development of the electric vehicle industry. PT Angkasa Pura II or Persero will develop Kuala Namu International Airport Area, North Sumatra, into Airport City or Aero City, as well as hubs for passengers and cargo in Western Indonesia, with an indicative investment value of $500 million. Director of Transformation and Strategic Portfolio of PT Angkasa Pura II, Arman Hermawan, in his statement in Jakarta on Sunday, December 15th, conveyed that in order to accelerate the plan, Angkasa Pura II will use a strategic partnership. Through this, the development of Kuala Namu can be accelerated so as to be able to accommodate industrial growth. He said currently there are 19 corporations that have expressed their interest to become strategic investor partners, namely from countries in the Asian, Europe, and East Asia regions. Through the strategic partnership scheme, he explained Angkasa Pura II and strategic investor partners will join the joint venture company or JVCO, namely PT Angkasa Pura Aviasi, to manage and develop Kuala Namu. The last item, Gusti Ngurah Rai International Airport, Bali, which is the main gate for the entry and exit of tourists to the island of Bali, presents a number of traditional Balinese art performances that are staged in the airport terminal area. General Manager of PT Angkasa Pura I or Persero I Gusti Ngurah Rai International Airport, Harry A.Y. Sikado, said on Saturday, December 14th, the activity that he had started on December 7th aimed at making Ngurah Rai Airport the first and last stop for passengers during a tour in Bali can become a media in the effort to preserve Balinese culture. The traditional Balinese cultural art performance theme regular Balinese culture performance by performing art in the form of a number of traditional dances and the Gebogan parade. And listener, that was news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This week's spotlight is on Minister of Education and Culture abolishes national examination starting 2021. Minister of Education and Culture Nadiem Makarim launched a Form Merdeka Belajar or Free to Study Educational Policy Programs. One of the contents is to delete the national examination starting in 2021. Nadiem Makarim As quoted from the Ministry of Education and Culture website on Wednesday, December 11, said that the holding of the national examination in 2021 will be changed to the minimum competency assessment and character survey, which consists of the ability to reason using language or literacy, the ability to reason using mathematics or numeracy, and strengthening of character education. This exam will be conducted by students who are in the middle school level, namely grades 4, 8, and 11. The government hopes this can encourage teachers and schools to improve the quality of learning. The results of these exams are not used as a basis for student selection to the next level. Nadiem Makarim said the direction of this policy also refers to good practices at the international level, such as the Program for International Student Assessment and Trends in Mathematics and Science Study. In addition, the government set a new policy for the implementation of the National Standard School Examination. Starting next year, it will be held only by schools. Exams are conducted to assess student competencies, which can be done in the form of written tests or other more comprehensive forms of assessment, such as portfolio and assignments to group tasks, written papers, or others. Thus, teachers and schools are more independent in assessing student learning outcomes. In addition, in the acceptance of new students, the Ministry of more flexible policies to accommodate inequality of access and quality in various regions. The composition of the zoning paths can accept students at least 50%, affirmation paths a minimum of 15%, and a maximum transfer path of 5%. Nadiem Makarim hopes that regional and national governments can move together in equalizing access and quality of education in Indonesia. Responding to the new policy, Vice President Ma'ruf Amin asked Minister Nadiem to properly review the minimum competency assessment and character survey before it was implemented as a substitute for national exam. According to Ma'ruf Amin, there must be a substitute measuring instrument for the national examination that effectively measures the level of education in each region. Vice President expects education in Indonesia to develop to produce human resources that can be a solution to the problems. Well, that was Spotlight of the Week. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Today in history, I'll start with December 15, 1994. Netscape Navigator is launched. Netscape Navigator is a well-known web browser in the 1990s and was the most widely used before the advent of Internet Explorer from Microsoft, which was made by Netscape Corporation. In its day, Netscape was widely used by users because it was better than some other graphical web browsers at the time. In 1999, Netscape Corporation was acquired by America Online AOL. Turning to December 15, 2005, International Tea Day is celebrated for the first time. International Tea Day is celebrated every year on December the 15th. This celebration has been taking place since 2005 in tea-producing countries such as Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Vietnam, Indonesia, Kenya, Malawi, Malaysia, Uganda, India, and Tanzania. International Tea Day is aimed at attracting the attention of governments and the world community on the impact of tea trade on tea workers and farmers and linking it to requests for support for fair trade and prices. After the initial meeting at the World Social Forum in 2004, International Tea Day was celebrated in New Delhi in 2005 and subsequently celebrated in Sri Lanka in 2006 and 2008. The celebration also presented the Global Tea Conference held jointly by the Tea Trade Union Movement. I'll end with December the 15th, 2017, the 2017 Java earthquake. The 2017 Java earthquake was a 6.5 magnitude earthquake that struck Indonesia on December the 15th, 2017 at 9:47 Indonesia West Time on the island of Java. The epicenter was 63 kilometers from Tasikmalaya, West Java, located on land with the center of the earthquake around Cipatujah. Earthquake shocks are felt around 5 to 30 seconds in many places on Java, starting from Pangandaran, Bandung, Kebumen, Yogyakarta, Pekalongan, Greater Jakarta, to a number of areas in East Java. The National Disaster Management Agency said 4 people were killed, 36 were injured, and nearly 5,000 houses damaged in a number of affected areas. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by D. Sarkar in India. Hello, Mr. Sarkar. Thank you for your regular reception report. Warm regards from the cruise. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song to you. Here is the song.
Ku ingin cinta hadir untuk selamanya, bukan hanyalah untuk sementara, menyapa dan hilang, terbit tenggelam bagai pelangi.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today, December 15, 2019, is on UNESCO recognizes pencak silat as an intangible cultural heritage. UNESCO has designated pencak silat as the intangible cultural heritage at the 14th session of the Intergovernmental Committee for the Safeguarding of Intangible Cultural Heritage at its hearing in Bogota, Colombia, from December the 9th until 14th. In his statement, the Indonesian Permanent Delegation representative to UNESCO, Professor Surya Rosa Putra, as quoted from Antara on Thursday, said pencak silat had officially entered the list of UNESCO Intangible World Cultural Heritage. He said there were 42 nominations to be encrypted as non-cultural heritage, including the tradition of pencak silat from Indonesia. According to Professor Surya Rosa Putra, in Indonesia, pencak silat is not just a means of self-defense or martial arts, but also part of the way of life, especially for the athlete or player. Pencak silat teaches good relationships with God, fellow humans, and the environment. Although pencak silat teaches attacking techniques, most importantly, pencak silat teaches all parties to be able to hold back and maintain harmony. It is estimated the pencak silat tradition originated in West Sumatra and West Java Island and developed throughout Indonesia with each unique movement and music that accompanied it. The pencak silat tradition has all the elements that make up an intangible cultural heritage. It consists of oral traditions, performing arts, rituals and festivals, social knowledge and practices as well as local wisdom. The establishment of the pencak silat tradition as an intangible cultural heritage by UNESCO is a joint effort of various stakeholders and both the central and regional governments, as well as various martial arts communities and universities in various provinces in Indonesia. The effort consisted of collecting and submitting data, holding various workshops, and preparing and negotiating nomination documents. Indonesia is committed to the sustainability of pencak silat, including through the education, which not only focuses on sports or martial aspects, but also as part of the arts and culture curriculum. The promotion of pencak silat to various countries also continues to be encouraged. At present, there are communities, colleges, and martial arts festivals in 52 countries in the world. Ernesto Lucena, Sport Minister of Colombia, as the host of the IHC session, in the talks with the Indonesian Ambassador to Colombo, Prio Iswanto, disclosed that in February 2020, there will be an exhibition to introduce pencak silat to the people of Colombia. Professor Surya Rosa Putra said when the establishment of pencak silat as intangible cultural heritage by UNESCO, in total now Indonesia has 9 cultural and natural heritage sites and 15 biosphere reserves. This number is the largest among other ASEAN countries. That was My Indonesia Today on UNESCO recognizes pencak silat as an intangible cultural heritage. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our regular listener, Dr. Herman Kumar, also from India. Hello, Dr. Herman Kumar. Thank you for your compliment on our broadcast. We always try to improve our broadcast every time. So keep listening and please do not forget to send your reception report. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Dan dirimu sudah jadi satu di dalam ikatan percaya. Ini asmaraku, ini asmaramu, tumbuh makin sempurna. Jadi diriku sendiri, aku tambah yakin.
beautiful. I love is like a miracle, and it is more than just a physical attraction. Even though we're individuals, but we have this spiritual connection. A passion that is always you, the one and only. Baby, you can call me every time you feel you want me, and I'll be there for you, and I know you too, and I love you. So the world is falling apart.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will take you to Trenggalek in East Java Province for a culinary tour. Trenggalek district is located 180 kilometers from Surabaya, the capital of East Java province. The specialty of Trenggalek is that it is surrounded by interconnected mountains. Since it is in the middle part of the Trenggalek is a mountainous region. In addition to having attractive tourist attraction, Trenggalek also has a unique culinary which is often referred to by the local community as sego gegok or gegok rice. Gegok rice is spicy rice served with anchovies, sambal, or condiment. People in Trenggalek believe that gegok rice, which has a spicy flavor, can treat nasal congestion if you have cold, and it can also relieve dizziness. Gegok rice is also a daily food for the Trenggalek community, especially in the Bendungan sub-district area. To get the original taste of gegok rice, you should go to its original place, that is Bendungan sub-district. From downtown Trenggalek to Bendungan, you will feel the fresh air typical of the mountains, and the trip only takes about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. portion of gege rice package is not too large, so one person can take around 2 to 3 packs of gege rice. Stalls that sell gege rice usually also provide a variety of side dishes such as fried tempeh, quail egg satay, and various other side dishes. Gege rice looks pretty simple because it is only wrapped in a banana leaf, but it is precisely the aroma and natural taste of this banana leaf that makes the taste of gege rice that looks simple becomes rich in flavor. In a packet of gege rice, there is the white rice and chili anchovies with tempeh mixture sliced into small pieces plus other side dishes if you like. How to make gege rice is fairly easy. Rice that has been wrapped in banana leaves and cooked until half done is given anchovy sauce made from anchovies that have been sauteed with garlic, onion, and chili and tempeh, which have also been cut into small pieces. Then steamed for 15 minutes until cooked. To get a real hot spicy flavor, you should use a cayenne pepper. To enjoy a packet of gege rice, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiahs. That is less than half US dollars. As for the additional side dishes you eat, of course you have to pay accordingly. Gege rice is more enjoyable when you eat it directly in the stall that sells it, especially with warm drinks. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring gege rice culinary from Trenggalek, East Java province. If you are in East Java, especially Trenggalek, you should sample this famous gege rice. I trust you won't regret it. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topic. This is Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Mr. M.S. Srinivasa Raju, still from India. Hello Mr. Raju, thank you for your reception report in detail. All Voice of Indonesia's crews wish you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year 2020. Special for you and listener Voice of Indonesia wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song for our regular listener around the world. Enjoy the song and happy listening.
Kita lihat sepasang merpati terbang lepas bebas tepat di hadapan, lalu kau bertanya kapan kita bagai mereka
terbang lepas bebas,
lepas bebas ke ujung dunia.
Dan ku bertanya, maukah kau terima pinangan tanpa sisa cinta yang lain, rona bahagia terpancar dari anggukan
saat ku pasang
pasang cincin di jemari.
Terima kasih kau terima pertunangan indah ini. Bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati. Dan ku bertanya, maukah kau terima pinangan tanpa sisa cinta yang lain? Rona bahagia terpancar dari anggukan.
Saat
pasangkan pasang cincin di jemari.
Terima kasih kau terima pertunangan indah ini. Bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati.
Saat ku pasangkan pasang cincin di jemari. Terima kasih kau terima pertunangan indah ini. Bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati. Bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati.
Well, listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Voice of Indonesia. Today's Miscellany is about Sapa Warga application. Recently, the governor of West Java, Ridwan Kamil, introduced a government super app called Sapa Warga, or in English means Hello People. According to Ridwan Kamil, the app will bridge two-way communication between people and government of West Java. The Sapa Warga super app was the early stage version, targeted for 53,000 community unit or RW heads across West Java. The community unit heads can send their people's requests directly to the provincial government via the app, as well as monitoring request follow-ups. Meanwhile, provincial government can use the app to introduce their programs. On the next stage, Sapa Warga will be released for all people. Ridwan Kamil explained Sapa Warga is different from Lapor app, which only serves people report on public services. Sapa Warga is prepared to receive people's recommendation and complaints. Further, people's recommendation in the Sapa Warga app will be used in development plan meeting for budgeting. West Java government also uses Sapa Warga to fight against hoaxes. In early stage, West Java government launched smartphones with Sapa Warga app installed to community unit heads for communication. The smartphones become Village ASAP, which is launched to community unit heads. Super app, Sapa Warga has various services. It is connected to tax payment services, online licensing, as well as administrative services for ID card, family card, birth certificate, and others. The app also has important phone numbers and information on daily needs price. So listener, that was Miscellany for today. I'm Puri Safira Dalla. Thank you for listening.
Do, 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 do.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Music Corner. Today we will present you a song by Audrey Tapi Heru. Audrey is an Indonesian singer known as member of GAC or GAC vocal group. In 2019, Audrey released a song as a solo singer. The song Cermin Hati or Mirror of Heart is the title of her first song. The song became the soundtrack of a film called Imperfect Karir Cinta dan Timbangan by Ernest Prakasa. Cermin Hati tells the story of a woman who is aware that perfection is not everything. And listener, here is Audrey Tapi Heru with the song Cermin Hati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Rindukah dirimu seperti dahulu?
Voice of Indonesia.
Ku tak percaya hingga saat ini masih saja engkau ada dan menggenggam cinta. Kini ku mengerti arti kesetiaan yang kau tunjukkan padaku selama ini kasih. Ku takkan kecewakan, semuanya terlalu indah. Aku kini selalu ada hanya untukmu, tanpa dirimu ku tahu ku takkan begini. Biar semua menjadi saksi cinta kita bersemi indah di lubuk hatiku sampai akhir nanti. Dengan kekuatan cinta
listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.